says increase in COVID-19 is a very ominous sign. Herd immunity is not the way out of the coronavirus pandemic, experts say. U.S. overdose fatalities rose in the first 3 months of 2020. Report states U.S. discouraged Nevada from using Chinese-made coronavirus tests donated by the United Arab Emirates. Despite virus fears, Texas sends most voters to the polls. 8 Texas school systems will get rapid coronavirus tests with new pilot program. El Paso man arrested and charged with felony for giving fraudulent COVID-19 treatments. Studies find COVID-19 coronavirus can survive 28 days on some surfaces, 11 hours on the skin. People with blood type O may have lower risk of COVID-19 infection and severe illness, 2 new studies suggest. Extra safety scrutiny planned as virus vaccine worries grow. Dr. Fauci on COVID surge and a very different Thanksgiving. How do I politely ask someone to wear a mask? We're also going to do something toward the end of the program that we've never done before, and that is giving some reviews of hand lotions and hand creams, moisturizers, because we're all washing our hands so often now. We're using the hand sanitizers that, of course, have alcohol and are very drying to our skin. We're going to do that. I have 3 different sources that review different lotions and creams, so we'll talk about those. And yes, this is a thing. Bacon-scented face masks. Hormel Foods announces it is giving away free black label breathable bacon masks. We'll have those stories and any others that we may have time for this hour. First, we'll look at the numbers from the Odessa American. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 5,480. Ector County negative, 24,682 out of 30,509 tested, with 347 pending. 106 deaths. Recovered, 4,552. Active, 822. ECISD daily cases, 6 students, 1 staff. Midland County, 4,287 confirmed, 86 deaths. And the Midland Reporter-Telegram yesterday reported that Midland ISD reports there were 33 new confirmed cases between September 30th and October 9th. The MISD website report also shows the total number of cases is up to 147 people, employees or students, since June 22nd. That includes 32 cases through October 9th. That followed 63 cases in September. For Texas, from the Texas Tribune, average new cases increased by 630 cases compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On October 14th, 4,564 new cases were reported. Hospitalizations increased by 612 patients compared with a week ago. As of October 14th, 4,131 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths stayed the same compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On October 14th, 95 new deaths were reported. West Texas Intermediate is trading today at $40.27. That is down 77 cents. Now here are coronavirus briefs. 2 people involved with Joe Biden's presidential campaign have tested positive for the novel coronavirus, officials announced Thursday. Neither person had contact with Biden or his running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, for at least 2 days prior to their diagnoses, according to the campaign. But Harris has nevertheless canceled all her travel through the weekend. University of Oxford scientists announced Thursday that they have developed a rapid antigen test for the coronavirus that they say can offer results in as few as 5 minutes. Young healthy people should prepare to wait until 2022 to get a coronavirus vaccine, a top scientist with the World Health Organization warned. A vaccine is still the best way to bring an end to the pandemic in the United States, health experts say, adding that pursuing herd immunity through infections would be dangerous. Alabama football coach Nick Saban tests positive for coronavirus. The Florida LSU game is postponed after the Gators reported a coronavirus outbreak. In 9 states, the rolling average of hospitalizations from coronavirus complications has risen by double digits over the past week, according to data tracked by the Washington Post. The largest jumps were recorded in Wyoming and Montana. The U.S. reports nearly 60,000 new COVID-19 cases. At least 215,000 fatalities in the U.S. have been attributed to the coronavirus since February, and more than 7,875,000 cases have been reported. Now, I don't often go into global rates of coronavirus, but occasionally I do like to dip in and give you a report on not just how the United States is faring, but the world overall. And here are a few of those places. About 80% of European countries are seeing growth in COVID-19 cases, a WHO official says. The London mayor says tighter restrictions for the British capital are imminent. Starting Saturday, Paris and several other French cities will be under a nighttime curfew as part of efforts to slow the spread. Russia reports record number of daily deaths. Hong Kong and Singapore set up a travel bubble as COVID cases fall there. The prognosis is not good, Czech Prime Minister says, as the country battles a new wave of COVID-19. Germany just recorded a daily high new number of new COVID-19 cases. Italy records its highest coronavirus case increase since the pandemic began. Chinese officials tested nearly 10 million people for COVID-19 in 4 days. India records a dip in new coronavirus cases. And a South Korean city is to test all employees and patients at a hospital linked to the new COVID-19 cluster. Now moving to shorter stories, beginning with the economy. U.S. jobless claims head higher by CNN's Anakin Tapp. For yet another week, hundreds of thousands of American workers filed for unemployment benefits. Americans filed another 898,000 first-time jobless claims last week on a seasonally adjusted basis, according to the Department of Labor. That's up 53,000 from the prior week. Weekly claims have fallen a long way since peaking at 6.9 million in late March, but the improvements have slowed to a snail's pace in recent weeks and went into reverse last week. That means it could take a long time to get back to the pre-pandemic level of around 200,000 claims per week. On top of regular jobless claims, 372,891 Americans filed for pandemic unemployment assistance, a program designed in response to the pandemic to help those not usually eligible for unemployment benefits. That was down 91,000 claims from the prior week. Adding those together, total first-time claims stood at about 1.3 million last week. Continued jobless claims, which count workers who have filed for benefits for more than 2 weeks in a row, stood at 10 million. That's down around 1.2 million from the prior week. That sounds like good news, but economists worry continued claims might be declining because people have maxed out their benefit allowance. States provide up to 26 weeks of aid before workers move on to other government programs, such as the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program. For Texas, from the Texas Tribune, the week ending October 10th, a total of 43,435 Texans filed initial applications for unemployment relief. More than 3.6 million people have filed for unemployment relief since the beginning of the pandemic, and the state's unemployment rate remains nearly double what it was at the start of the year. Unemployment rate falls for the fourth month in a row. Texas's unemployment rate in August was 6.8%, a drop from the 8% in July, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics in a report released September 18th. This signals the state's economy has improved from the state's worst-ever jobless months, April and May, when Governor Greg Abbott closed or limited in-person commerce across the state. Since mid-March, more than 3.6 million Texans have applied for unemployment insurance, more than in all of 2019. In September, Texas's sales tax revenues were down 6.1% from September 2019. Economists say weakened oil prices, high unemployment, and the ongoing public health crisis will slow Texas's economic recovery. Now let's move more to the medical stories. Vaccine scientist says increase in COVID-19 is a very ominous sign. From CNN's Adrian Volk. Texas Dr. Peter Hotez, a vaccine scientist and dean of tropical medicine at Baylor College of Medicine, says he is very worried as coronavirus cases continue to rise in the United States. We are now about to exceed 60,000 new cases a day, so we are looking at a doubling of new cases a day over just the last few weeks. This is a very ominous sign. I think we're in for a pretty bad fall and winter, Hotez said in an interview on CNN. This is not a time for rallies. This is not a time for crowding a lot of people together, especially speaking loudly and cheering, which releases the virus. This is a time when we could be entering one of the worst periods of our epidemic and one of the worst periods in modern American public health. I'm very worried for the nation, he added. Hotez decried the continued lack of a national plan for the pandemic and encouraged people to start planning themselves for the winter. He also said people should have a network of family, friends, or mental health providers to be able to talk to. This is a normal reaction to a very tough situation, and especially since we're being largely abandoned by the federal government, he said. Hotez added that the U.S. will very likely be in a much better situation by this time next year, but it's a matter of getting through these next few months. Herd immunity is not the way out of the coronavirus pandemic, experts say. From CNN's Madeline Holcomb. A vaccine is still the best way to bring an end to the COVID-19 pandemic, health experts say, adding that pursuing herd immunity would be dangerous. The idea of letting the virus run unchecked through communities misses the basic point that we're all connected. Former director of U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Thomas Frieden, told CNN's Wolf Blitzer. Frieden was responding to recent efforts to promote herd immunity as an answer to COVID-19. The idea is being pushed by those eager to stop the economic damage the pandemic has caused. The virus has infected more than 7.9 million people and killed at least 216,872, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. A vaccine could be available to some groups by the end of the year, but some politicians hoping to reverse the economic havoc from the pandemic have embraced the idea of letting the virus spread until enough people have been infected and developed herd immunity so that there is nowhere for it to spread next. White House senior administration officials, in a call with reporters Monday, discussed a controversial declaration written by scientists that advocates for such an approach. But the idea is a dangerous fallacy unsupported by scientific evidence that risks significant morbidity and mortality across the whole population, 80 scientists from around the world wrote in an open letter. Any infection anywhere is potentially a threat somewhere else, because even if you feel fine and get over it with no problems, no long-term consequences, you might spread it to someone who dies from it. And that's what we're seeing all over the country, Frieden said. It is impossible to just keep the vulnerable protected from the spread, Frieden said, and letting the virus run rampant would likely lead to recurring epidemics because there is no evidence that people are protected long-term after they've been infected, according to the letter. The best way to achieve widespread immunity, Frieden said, will be through a vaccine. Fauci slams idea of herd immunity. Letting things rip without protection is ridiculous. From CNN's Naomi Thomas. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, reacted to the idea of focused protection put forward in the Great Barrington Declaration, saying the idea is nonsense and the idea of letting the virus go without any protection measures is ridiculous. Fauci told Good Morning America host George Stephanopoulos that the declaration has a couple of things in it he thinks are fooling people, because it says things that are like apple pie and motherhood. He said that hidden in the declaration is the implication that if you let people get infected and worry about essentially protecting the vulnerable, there's about 30% of the population has underlying conditions that make them susceptible to getting the adverse events and outcomes of serious disease with COVID-19. If you just let things rip and let the infection go, no masks, crowd, it doesn't make any difference. That, quite frankly, George, is ridiculous, he said, because what that will do is there will be so many people in the community that you can't shelter, that you can't protect, who are going to get sick and get serious consequences. Fauci said the idea that we have the power to protect the vulnerable is total nonsense, and that has been shown to not be the case by history. Talking to anyone who has any infectious disease or epidemiology experience will say that it's risky and will lead to many more infections of vulnerable people, which will lead to hospitalizations and deaths, he said. So I think that we just got to look that square in the eye and say it's nonsense, he said. U.S. overdose fatalities rose in first 3 months of 2020, CDC data confirms, by the Washington Post's Antonia Farzin. New data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirms what many experts feared. Drug overdose deaths rose amid the pandemic in the first few months of 2020. Preliminary numbers released Wednesday showed fatalities increasing by approximately 10% from January through March, the most recent period for which data is available. During those 3 months, 19,416 people died of overdoses, nearly 3,000 more than did in the same period last year. The United States set a record for fatal overdoses in 2019, suggesting that deaths were already rising before the pandemic became a concern. But local officials around the country began witnessing sharp increases in overdoses this spring, probably resulting from a constellation of factors. Widespread shutdowns meant that many treatment centers and recovery programs were closed, while quarantines made it more likely that people would use drugs alone and not have anyone around to call for help or administer Narcan in case of an emergency. The Washington Post previously reported. Border closures also disrupted typical drug routes, which appeared to increase the likelihood that people would try unfamiliar substances. Earlier this year, the Trump administration cited the possibility of increased overdoses as a reason that states should reopen their economies. But many drug policy experts say that doing so won't fully address the crisis and that a sustained investment in treatment is needed. Report says U.S. discouraged Nevada from using Chinese-made coronavirus tests donated by UAE over security concerns, by the Washington Post's Paul Shim. The State Department warned the state of Nevada against using Chinese-made coronavirus testing kits donated by the United Arab Emirates over concerns about accuracy and patient privacy, according to an investigation by the Associated Press. The governor's office in April instructed Nevada's University Medical Center not to use the tests or pursue a joint laboratory deal. According to the report, U.S. concerns revolved around Chinese government-linked companies gaining access to U.S. citizens' genetic information and medical histories. Officials also warned about the accuracy of the tests. Despite virus fears, Texas sends most voters to the polls, by Acacia Coronado, Associated Press, Houston. Early voting began Tuesday with long lines in Texas, one of the few places in the U.S. not allowing widespread mail balloting during the pandemic, and Jill Biden rallied supporters across the red state that Democrats are no longer writing off. Texas is just one of five states that did not dramatically expand mail-in voting this year because of COVID-19, and hours before polls opened, Republican Governor Greg Abbott's order limiting counties to one mail ballot drop-off box was upheld by a federal appeals court, stopping dozens of shuttered sites around Texas from reopening. Both the virus and Texas's high stakes in November were front of mind in Jill Biden's first stop, the border city of El Paso, where Abbott has deployed more nurses and medical equipment as cases and hospitalizations climb. Campaigning for her husband, former Vice President Joe Biden, she was due to end her 800-mile swing across Texas in Houston, with a stop in Dallas in between. Regina Kuchipin, a registered Democrat and a Houston resident, said she still didn't feel safe eating in restaurants because of the coronavirus, but that she was willing to be among crowds to exercise her right to vote. I think that now that people know how serious it is and what precautions to take, I think those who are ready to come out are taking those precautions, said Kuchipin, a healthcare worker. By Tuesday afternoon, Houston election officials reported more than 100,000 votes had been cast in Harris County, a record turnout for a single day of early voting, which continues through October 30th. Long lines were common at polling sites across Texas, as were masks, although voters are not required to wear them inside polling places. Much is on the line in America's largest red state, which has competitive congressional and state legislative races and is a potential presidential battleground. And local election authorities have been pulling out all the stops to ensure the state's 16 million registered voters can safely cast their ballots in person. Eight Texas school systems will get rapid coronavirus tests with new pilot program. By Aria Jones, Texas Tribune. Coronavirus tests with results in 15 minutes or less are coming to a few Texas schools as part of a new pilot program announced Wednesday by Governor Greg Abbott. As more students return to campus for in-person instruction, the state of Texas is working alongside school officials to provide resources to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 among students and staff, Abbott said in a press release. John Whitman, a spokesperson for the governor, said the tests are part of the millions being provided to Texas by the federal government. The medical company producing the tests said the antigen tests require a nasal swab, cost $5, and are about the size of a credit card. Through the program, the Texas Division of Emergency Management will provide the tests to school systems, which will receive personal protective equipment to administer them to willing participants, according to the release. The eight campuses are in Port Arthur, Fabens, Tyler, Granger, Lampasas, Longview, Harlingen, and Isleta. Other public and private schools interested in the program can apply through the TEA no later than Wednesday, October 28th, the release said. Rapid antigen tests, which can detect proteins on the outside of the virus, are more prone to giving false negative results than other coronavirus tests that use genetic material. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says that a positive test result on an antigen test is highly accurate, but antigen tests are more likely to miss an active coronavirus infection compared to molecular tests. But Joseph Petrosino, chair of molecular virology and microbiology at Baylor College of Medicine, said in a previous interview that the tests are most useful in settings such as schools because the same people can be tested every 3 to 4 days, eliminating the chances of having a false negative result. And continuing with Texas stories, this from CNN. El Paso man arrested and charged with felony for giving fraudulent COVID-19 treatments, by Kay Jones and Amanda Jackson. An El Paso man was arrested last week and charged with practicing medicine without a medical license for selling and administering fraudulent COVID-19 treatments, according to the Texas Department of Public Service. Hugo Chico, 39, was arrested on October 5th by the DPS Criminal Investigations Division, Special Agents, and Homeland Security Investigations, HSI, during an undercover operation. Texas DPS confirmed in an email to CNN. Investigators who were tipped off in July through an anonymous Crime Stoppers tip found that he was giving medical treatments to try and prevent the virus and was charging patients hundreds of dollars, according to the DPS. Chico was charged with a third-degree felony of practicing without a medical license and booked into El Paso County Jail. Records show he bonded out on October 6th. CNN has been unable to confirm if Chico has an attorney. On October 9th, the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Western District of Texas announced in a press release that authorities had obtained a temporary restraining order against Chico to ensure that he and anyone else working with him will stop advertising and performing treatments for COVID-19. The government is employing a federal statute that permits federal courts to issue injunctions to prevent harm to potential victims of fraudulent schemes, according to the release. Any individual who received unauthorized coronavirus prevention treatments from Chico is asked to contact HSI El Paso, the release states. Authorities also encourage those individuals to contact their primary care physician or local health department to get tested for the virus. El Paso has seen a surge in coronavirus cases recently. On Monday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced that he is sending state resources to help support hospitals in the area. And now this from CBS News. Studies find COVID-19 coronavirus can survive 28 days on some surfaces, 11 hours on skin. The coronavirus that causes COVID-19 can survive on items such as banknotes and phones for up to 28 days in cool, dark conditions, according to a study by Australia's National Science Agency. Researchers at CSIRO's Disease Preparedness Center tested the longevity of SARS-CoV-2 in the dark at three temperatures, showing survival rates decreased as conditions became hotter, the agency said Monday. The scientists found that at 68 degrees Fahrenheit, SARS-CoV-2 was extremely robust on smooth surfaces like cell phone and other touchscreens, surviving for 28 days on glass, steel, and plastic banknotes. At 86 degrees Fahrenheit, the survival rate dropped to 7 days and plunged to just 24 hours at 104 degrees Fahrenheit. The virus survived for shorter periods on porous surfaces such as cotton, up to 14 days at the lowest temperatures and less than 16 hours at the highest, the researchers said. This was significantly longer than previous studies, which found the disease could survive for up to 4 days on non-porous surfaces, according to the paper published in the peer-reviewed Virology Journal. A separate piece of research published this week by the Kyoto Prefectural University of Medicine in Japan found the new coronavirus is unusually durable on human skin, too, surviving up to 11 hours. That compares to about 2 hours of expected longevity for the influenza A flu virus on the skin. The Japanese researchers said this durability may increase the risk of contact transmission, thus accelerating the pandemic. The authors said in their study, published in the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases, that the findings underscore the importance of hand washing and disinfecting. Trevor Drew, director of the Australia Center for Disease Preparedness, said their study involved drying samples of the virus on different materials before testing them, using an extremely sensitive method that found traces of live virus able to infect cell cultures. This doesn't mean to say that that amount of virus would be capable of infecting someone, he told public broadcaster ABC. He added that if a person was careless with these materials and touched them and then licked your hands or touched your eyes or your nose, you might well get infected upwards of 2 weeks after they had been contaminated. Critical for risk mitigation. Drew said there were several caveats, including that the study was conducted with fixed levels of virus that likely represented the peak of a typical infection, and there was the absence of exposure to ultraviolet light, which can rapidly degrade the virus. Humidity was kept steady at 50%, the study said, as increases in humidity have also been found to be detrimental to the virus. According to the CSIRO, the virus appears to primarily spread through the air, but more research was needed to provide further insights into the transmission of the virus via surfaces. While the precise role of surface transmission, the degree of surface contact, and the amount of virus required for infection is yet to be determined, establishing how long this virus remains viable on surfaces is critical for developing risk mitigation strategies in high-contact areas, CSIRO's Debbie Eagles said. The main message remains that infectious people are far, far more infectious than surfaces, Drew told the ABC. But nevertheless, it may help to explain why, even when we got rid of the infectious people, we do occasionally get these breakouts again, sometimes even in a country which is considered to be free of the virus, he said. People with blood type O may have lower risk of COVID-19 infection and severe illness, two new studies suggest. By Katie Hunt and Jacqueline Howard, CNN. People with blood type O may be less vulnerable to COVID-19 and have a reduced likelihood of getting severely ill, according to two studies published Wednesday. Experts say more research is needed. The research provides further evidence that blood type, also known as blood group, may play a role in a person's susceptibility to infection and their chance of having a severe bout with the illness. The reasons for this link aren't clear, and more research is needed to say what implications, if any, it has for patients. Studies add to growing evidence. A Danish study found that among 7,422 people who tested positive for COVID-19, only 38.4% were blood type O, even though among a group of 2.2 million people who were not tested, that blood type made up 41.7% of the population. By contrast, 44.4% of Group A tested positive, while in the wider Danish population, that blood type makes up to 42.4%. In the other study, researchers in Canada found that among 95 patients critically ill with COVID-19, a higher proportion with blood type A or AB, 84%, required mechanical ventilation compared with patients with blood group O or B, which was 61%. The Canadian study also found that those with blood type A or AB had a longer stay in the intensive care unit, a median of 13 and a half days, compared with those with blood group O or B who had a median of 9 days. As a clinician, it is at the back of my mind when I look at patients and stratify them. But in terms of a definitive marker, we need repeated findings across many jurisdictions that show the same thing, said Dr. Maipinder Sekhon, an intensive care physician at Vancouver General Hospital and an author of the Canadian study. I don't think this supersedes other risk factors of severity like age and comorbidities and so forth, added Sekhon, who is also a clinical assistant professor in the Division of Critical Care Medicine and Department of Medicine at the University of British Columbia. If one is in Group A, you don't need to start panicking. And if you're in blood group O, you're not free to go to the pubs and bars. No need to worry. Most humans fall into one of four blood groups, A, B, AB, or O. In the United States, the most common blood groups are O and A. It makes very little difference to most people's daily lives unless you have to have a blood transfusion. Nor should people worry unduly about the link between blood type and COVID-19, said Dr. Torben Barrington, the senior author of the Danish paper and a clinical professor at the Odense University Hospital and the University of Southern Denmark. We do not know whether this is some kind of protection of Group O or whether it's some kind of vulnerability in the other blood groups, he said. I think this has scientific interest, and when we find out what the mechanism is, perhaps we're able to use that proactively in some way in regard to treatment. In the Danish study, researchers analyzed data on Danish individuals who were tested between February 27th and July 30th, and the distribution of blood types among those people was compared with data from people who had not been tested. They found that blood group wasn't a risk factor for hospitalization or death from COVID-19. Both studies were published in the journal Blood Advances. While there are several theories, researchers don't yet know what mechanism could explain the link between different blood groups in COVID-19. Sekhon said it could be explained by people with blood type O having less of a key clotting factor, making them less prone to coagulation problems in the blood. Clotting has been a major driver in the severity of COVID-19. Other possible explanations involve blood group antigens and how they affect the production of infection-fighting antibodies. Or it could be linked to genes associated with blood types and their effect on receptors in the immune system. It's a repeated, interesting scientific observation that really warrants further mechanistic work, he said. There's a bit more to that article, but we're going to stop now and move to our next story. Extra safety scrutiny planned as virus vaccine worries grow. by Lauren Neergaard, Associated Press. Facing public skepticism about rushed COVID-19 vaccines, U.S. health officials are planning extra scrutiny of the first people vaccinated when shots become available, an added safety layer experts call vital. A new poll suggests those vaccine fears are growing, with this week's pause of a second major vaccine study because of an unexplained illness and repeated tweets from President Donald Trump that raised the specter of politics overriding science. A quarter of Americans say they won't get vaccinated. That's a slight increase from 1 in 5 in May. The poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research found only 46% of Americans want a COVID-19 vaccine, and another 29% are unsure. More striking, while Black Americans have been especially hit hard by COVID-19, just 22% say they plan to get vaccinated, compared with 48% of white Americans, the AP NORC poll found. "I'm very concerned about hesitancy regarding COVID vaccine," said Dr. William Schaffner, vaccine specialist at Vanderbilt University, who says even the primary care doctors who'll need to recommend vaccinations have questions. "If the politicians would stand back and let the scientific process work, I think we'd all be better off," he added. The stakes are high. Shunning a COVID-19 shot could derail efforts to end the pandemic, while any surprise safety problems after one hits the market could reverberate into distrust of other routine vaccines. On top of rigorous final testing in tens of thousands of people, any COVID-19 vaccines cleared for widespread use will get additional safety evaluation as they're rolled out. Among plans from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, texting early vaccine recipients to check how they're feeling, daily for the first week, and then weekly out to 6 weeks. Any vaccine before Election Day is extremely unlikely. Over Trump's objections, the Food and Drug Administration issued clear safety and effectiveness standards that shots must meet. And Commissioner Stephen Hahn insists career scientists, not politicians, will decide each possible vaccine's fate only after all the evidence is debated at a public meeting. Dr. Fauci says that should be reassuring because it means scientists like himself will see all of the evidence. So the chances of there being secret hanky-panky are almost zero because everything is going to be transparent, he told the AP. Here are some things to watch as vaccines get closer to the finish line. There's still no guarantee. Furthest along in final stage testing in the U.S. are a vaccine candidate made by Pfizer Incorporated and Germany's BioNTech, and another developed by Moderna Incorporated and the National Institutes of Health. Fauci says the best bet is that data about whether one or both work will emerge sometime in November or December. How soon depends on an independent data safety and monitoring board, the only group that can peek at the data before the study's finished. At preset time points, the board can analyze the number of infections occurring so far among participants and decide if the study should be stopped early because of strong evidence that the vaccine works, or if it's failing, or that it's too soon to know. Effectiveness is only half the story. The DSMB also watches for side effects. Many vaccines cause temporary side effects like fever, chills, and other flu-like symptoms. Two other vaccine candidates in final stage testing in the U.S. have been temporarily halted to investigate additional safety questions. Johnson & Johnson paused its study this week after learning of an unexplained illness in one participant, and the company expects it will take a few days to learn if the problem is a side effect or a coincidence. But testing of AstraZeneca's vaccine has been on hold in the U.S. for over a month after news emerged of neurological illnesses in two British participants. Regulators let AstraZeneca's study resume in Britain and several other countries, but the FDA is still deciding. Stopping those studies shows you that the system that we have in place to monitor the safety of the vaccines and the rigorous conduct of the trial is in place and it's working, Schaffner said. Looking back at vaccines for other diseases, side effects show up within 2 to 3 months, said FDA vaccine chief Dr. Peter Marks. So FDA told COVID-19 vaccine makers, if they seek emergency use authorization to get their shot to market faster than normal, they still would have to track half the participants for 2 months after the last dose. Then it would take the FDA several weeks of breakneck work to decide if a COVID-19 vaccine really was suitable for emergency use, Mark said. In contrast, evaluating an application for full approval could take months, as FDA officials comb through fuller records of how participants fared. Extra safety steps. Even large final tests won't catch a side effect that happens in, say, 1 in 100,000 people. So there's an early warning system that monitors every vaccine sold in the U.S. to spot unsuspected side effects. It's a system that has served us very well, said Dr. Bruce Jelen of the Sabin Vaccine Institute, who once directed the government's National Vaccine Program Office. But for this unprecedented vaccination campaign, we need to expand that monitoring. Once the FDA clears a vaccine, health workers and other essential workers are expected to get the first doses, and they'll have to sign an agreement to do so that includes their cell number and email. The CDC will use those registrations to check how the vaccinated are feeling. Any health complaint bad enough that they missed work, couldn't do a normal activity, or had to seek medical care gets a follow-up probe, said CDC's Dr. Tom Shimaburkro. Separately, the FDA will be checking giant databases of insurance claims and electronic medical records to see if people who received the vaccine also have an uptick in health care. And states including New York, Rhode Island, and Virginia are forming advisory committees to review the safety of any COVID-19 vaccines that pass the FDA. From CBS News, Dr. Fauci on COVID surge and a very different Thanksgiving. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease expert, told CBS Evening News anchor and managing editor Nora O'Donnell that the United States needs to redouble its efforts to contain the coronavirus as we enter the fall and winter months. What we really have to do is double down on preventative measures like social distancing and wearing masks, Fauci said in the interview Wednesday. He noted that coronavirus cases are surging in 37 states, a concerning rise affecting over three-quarters of the country. That is not a good sign as you're entering into the cooler weather, Fauci warned. He stressed that the same protocols health officials have been advising for months, wash your hands frequently, social distance, wear a mask, and avoid crowds, especially indoors, are as essential as ever, 7 months into the pandemic. They sound very simple, but people are not doing that, and that's why we have an uptick in cases, he said. The surge could be made worse as families across the country travel and gather for the holiday season. Fauci said some beloved traditions, like big Thanksgiving gatherings, may need to be avoided this year to keep people safe. That is unfortunately a risk. When you have people coming from out of town, gathering together in an indoor setting, he said. It is unfortunate because that's such a sacred part of American tradition, the family gathering around Thanksgiving. But that is a risk. Asked what his advice would be to Americans making plans for the November holiday, Fauci said they should evaluate the status of cases across the country. Given the fluid and dynamic nature of what's going on right now in the spread and the uptick of infections, I think people should be very careful and prudent about social gatherings, particularly when members of the family might be at a risk because of their age or their underlying condition, he said, adding, you may have to bite the bullet and sacrifice that social gathering unless you're pretty certain that the people that you're dealing with are not infected. He said that his own family's Thanksgiving is going to look very different this year. He shared that his children, who live in three different states, have decided not to return home in order to protect his health, since at 79 years old, he is considered at higher risk. They themselves, because of their concern for me and my age, have decided they're not going to come home for Thanksgiving, even though all three of them want very much to come home for Thanksgiving. Fauci said he thinks we'll know by November or December if there's a safe and effective vaccine candidate, Asked when a vaccine would be available for most Americans, he estimated that it would be likely within the first quarter of 2021, or let's say by April of 2021, if all the vaccines that are currently in clinical trials work out. There is more to this story, but I'm going to stop here in the interest of time and move on to our next article, which is very interesting. How do I politely ask someone to wear a mask? By the Associated Press. How do I politely ask someone to wear a mask? Experts say you should make the request discreetly because shaming the person could put them on the defensive. If they feel violated by the way you approach them, they are much less likely to make a change, said Jan Kavujikin, a behavioral scientist at Auburn University. She said citing the local rules or recommendations from health officials could also help in some cases. Someone feels less threatened when you say, "Here's what the experts say," Kavujikin said. Public health experts say masks are key to reducing the spread of COVID-19, but asking a stranger to put one on could still result in a volatile situation, since they may not be easily persuaded. Rather than risk a confrontation, experts say it might be best to steer clear of people without masks in public if you can. And if you're in a store or a restaurant, it's best to have a manager or someone in charge ask the person, said Diane Gottsman, an etiquette expert. If you do find yourself interacting with someone who is not wearing a mask, Gottsman suggests saying something like, "For your safety and mine, I would feel much more comfortable if we were both wearing masks." Now we're to part of the show that I've been looking forward to all hour. Last night I was rubbing my hands and I noticed that they had a slight pain and are very dry, and so I used some lotion. And I started thinking that I'm not the only one in this boat, because we're all in this. We are washing our hands very often, as we should be, and we're also using antibacterial lotions on our hands, gels and such. So we all have problems right now, many of us at least, with dry hands. So I went online and I started looking for reviews of the best lotions and creams. Now, one thing that I found was they say that creams are actually better than a lotion because they have less water than a lotion does. But I've looked at several reviews of both lotions and creams, and we're going to look at three different sources for these. And where possible, I'm going to tell you where you can get them and also how much they cost. This first source is from Good Housekeeping, and they've given five different creams that they recommend, and they're all under a heading of what they're best for. The first is best overall, Eucerin Advanced Repair Hand Cream, $4.44. For heavy-duty repair, reach for this Good Housekeeping seal holder. The glycerin-rich cream was the most moisturizing of all tested. Why we love it: highest marks for hydrating skin, glides on easily, portable size. Take note, can feel tacky or greasy. The second category, best value: Neutrogena Hydro Boost Hand Gel Cream, $4.95. Unlike any other creams tested, this one is a gel formula that moisturizes. Why we love it: unique gel-like texture, smells like clean laundry, great at boosting moisturization. Take note, left hands feeling a little greasy. The next category is under best scent: Bliss Lemon and Sage Hand Cream, $10. Testers loved the fresh scent so much that one tester likened it to an aromatherapy cream. Why we like it: fresh lemon smell, leaves hands feeling soft, not tacky, generously sized. Take note, difficult to control dispensing. The fourth category is under the column of best non-greasy. This is called Call of Fruity Hand Food Hand Cream, and it's by a company called Soap and Glory, and it retails at $100. It goes on smooth, moisturizes, and absorbs into skin quickly. Why we love it: the least greasy feeling formula tested, easy application, fast absorption, and significantly improves moisturization. Take note, skip if you don't like fruity scents. And on this one, I'm going to inject my own opinion in here. Also a downside is its cost. It's a 4.2-ounce tube, and that costs $100. And then finally, for Good Housekeeping, they rate for best for sensitive skin. Aveeno Skin Relief Hand Cream, $5.35. Testers loved how silky this lotion made their hands feel, and it doesn't leave a greasy residue. Why we love it. Best for leaving hands looking smooth. Ranked high for making hands feel soft. Quick absorbing formula. Take note, some testers thought it was too thick. Our second of our three sources is a website called verywellhealth.com. And I chose this because it has quite a few of these. They have a very short reason why they like them. And as with our previous review, they list them under different categories of why they rank them as best. Also, they sourced all of these from Amazon, so I'll be giving you the prices that Amazon gives. This one is for best overall. L'Occitane Shea Butter Hand Cream. The price is $29 for a 5.2-ounce tube. For best budget, they list Yes to Coconut Hand and Cuticle Cream, an effective hand cream that won't break the bank. At Amazon, this costs $5.99 for 3 fluid ounces. Best aloe-based, Miracle Hand Repair Cream. It's made with 60% aloe gel, which promises to deliver moisture. And at Amazon, this one costs $30.99 for a 32-ounce bottle. Best multipurpose, Aquifer Advanced Therapy. Many say they couldn't live without it, particularly in the winter. And at Amazon, it's priced at $9.58 for a 7-ounce tube. Best natural, Burt's Bees Almond and Milk Hand Cream. Made with sweet almond oil, vitamin E, and beeswax. At Amazon, it comes in a package of two, and it's priced at $20.34, and each little jar is 2 ounces. Best non-greasy, O'Keefe's Working Hands Hand Cream. Designed to moisturize extremely dry skin without that greasy feeling. It costs, in a package of two, $12.95, and each tube is 3 ounces. And now, here's another one for Eucerin, as in our last review. Best SPF Protection, Eucerin Daily Hydration SPF 30 Cream, a daily lotion that keeps hands moisturized and protected from sun exposure. The price of Eucerin is, for 2.7 ounces, $6.70. And finally, under this verywellhealth.com website, they list one for Best Intense, Vermont's Original Bag Balm. Works on dry skin, cuts, scrapes, chafing, and more. It comes in a little metal tin. It's 8 ounces, and it is $9.99. Have I lost you yet? Hang on, we have one more review site to look at. And this is from Self.com, Self Magazine. They list them just in ranking. They don't give any particular purpose of why they're best. So I'm just going to actually roll through these. Their number one is Kiehl's Ultimate Strength Hand Salve for $16 at Ulta.com. Number two is Jergens Lavender Body Butter Moisturizer, $6 from Amazon. And then they also list at number three, one that we heard of in our last review, L'Occitane Hand Cream, $29 from Amazon. Number four, Natura Brazil Acai Hand Cream, $19 from Amazon. Number five, Innisfree Juju Life Perfumed Hand Cream in Peach, $5 from the website innisfree.com. Number six, again, Neutrogena Hydro Boost Hand Gel Cream, $6 at Ulta.com. Number seven is Skin Fix eczema and hand repair cream, $18 from Sephora.com. Number 8, Tony Moly Red Apple Hand Cream, $12 from Amazon. Number 9, Hemp's Natural Herbal Body Moisturizer, originally $23, now $11 at Amazon. The 10th ranked moisturizer is Keri Nourishing Shea Body Lotion, $6 from Walmart.com. 11, Coty Green Tea Hand and Body Lotion, $5 from Amazon. Number 12 is Love Beauty Planet Mururumu Butter and Rose Hand Cream, pack of two, $18 from Amazon. The 13th is Gold Bond Ultimate Intensive Healing Hand Cream, $4 from Target.com. 14 is Lush Charity Pot, $30 from LushUSA.com. 15 is CeraVe Moisturizing Cream, $17 from Amazon. Number 16 is La Roche-Posay Lip Care Balm AP and Body Cream, $20 from Amazon. And here's a tried and true old favorite. The 17th ranked is Vaseline Extremely Dry Skin Rescue, $6 from Target. And then the final one they rank is number 18, Vanicream Moisturizing Cream, originally $16, now $12 from Amazon.com. And then finally, as a side note, I'm going to give you a couple of them that I've tried myself or am using right now. The first one I've used for a long time. I haven't used it in a couple of years because I ran out, but it's the Body Shop Hemp Hand Protector. And on Amazon, it's $15 for 3.3 ounces. It's a little bit thicker, and it does feel a little bit greasy, but it is very effective for both hands and feet that I've found. And then the one that I've been using now, I have it in the bathroom, is Aveeno Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion with soothing oat and rich emollients to nourish dry skin, gentle and fragrance-free lotion, non-greasy, non-comedogenic. This is 18 ounces and costs from Amazon $7.29. And like the title of it says in this webpage, it really isn't very greasy. Once you get it rubbed into your skin, it goes on okay. This one, during the pandemic, has been my go-to. Like I said, I keep it in the restroom, and after I wash my hands, I'll just hit the pump one time, and that's been keeping my hands pretty smooth and not hurting so badly. Actually, not hurting at all. So those are just the ones that I personally know of. Now, we'll get to our final story as we wrap up. By the way, if you have any ones that you like or would tell people to stay away from, you're more than welcome to email me with your comments or recommendations at michael@recordinglibrary.org. Now, for our last little bit of a story, this is crazy, but this is a real deal. Bacon-scented face masks. Hormel Foods announces it is giving away free black label breathable bacon masks by Kelly Tyco, USA Today. Bacon lovers, there's a new face mask for you. Hormel Foods, known for its black label bacon, announced the launch of Breathable Bacon, what it calls a revolutionary face mask featuring the latest in pork-scented technology. Now through October 28th at breathablebacon.com, Hormel is giving away free masks, and for every request, will donate one meal to Feeding America, up to 10,000 meals. The free masks will be given away while supplies last, according to the news release. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have said for months that wearing masks slows the spread of COVID-19, and some shoppers have said they feel more comfortable going to stores where masks are required. This is actually a pretty crazy story, but it looks to be the real deal. I'm looking at the breathablebacon.com website right now. I will say that what the story said made it seem like you just enter and they'll automatically send you a mask. But what this is looking like on a website, it's actually a contest. You enter for a chance to whiff. So they ask you for your name, address, email, and so forth. And they put you in a contest. They're running it until 12 a.m. Central Time on October 28th, and winners will be randomly selected on November 4th. So if you'd like a chance at that bacon mask, get on that breathable.com website. Thank you very much for joining us today. Let me tell you what's coming up next. Of course, it's USA Today, National